Welcome to Red Meat, the conservative news update you need from Odyssey stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in. Today, we're serving up kings on a golden platter. That's right. The Democrats are at it again, trying to gain the upper hand in public imagination with another big so-called No Kings rally. You'll see it Saturday wherever you live. Undoubtedly. Let's kick things off with Fox News, revealing what's really behind this show of support.
Ryan Schmelz is our guest from Fox News Radio. Let's transition to the shutdown. Man, the temperature, the tone of things, this thing does not look like it's going to end anytime soon.
Not exactly, no. And, you know, Speaker Johnson and Leader Jeffries are having their daily press conferences once again. You know, Republicans have teased this idea that they think that the shutdown will end when the No Kings protest this weekend comes to an end. They believe that Democrats want to go to this and show their political, you know, show that they're fighting the Trump administration and cater to their left flank of their party. But at the same time, Democrats kind of shot that down. But it is something that has been discussed. And of course, you know, I think there always has been this question that Leader Schumer is voting against something that he has voted for over and over again throughout his political career. But this time he's doing it because he's feeling the political pressure after he got a lot of flack back in March for voting to keep the government open.
And are they still, you think, going to stick to the full $1.5 trillion that they want to be put into this before they would vote yes? Or do you think they'll quit if they get the health care provision, if they get the half a trillion in health care?
They haven't really been advocating for their entire bill. They've kind of been putting that out there as a framework, and the big things that they've been using as sticking points are these Affordable Care Act tax subsidies. But the one that kind of keeps not getting talked about enough is the provisions in there that they want that would pretty much ensure that the Trump administration doesn't cut spending that Congress approves. So that those are probably the big two. But yes, I mean, look, Republicans use that $1.5 trillion spending package that they put together, and they use it to attack Democrats consistently because that's the bill that got rid of the guardrails that were put into place by the One Big Beautiful Bill Act to essentially keep people in the country illegally from getting Medicaid. And Republicans have used that as saying that Democrats are pushing for health care for illegal immigrants.
Well, they both are dug in their heels. It looks like there's going to be no end. Day 17 today, and according to Senator Kennedy, I don't know if you saw that interview yesterday. He said, he's so awesome. He said he thinks it's going through Thanksgiving. He truly does not see an end in sight.
Yeah, he scared a lot of people when he said that. Let's just put it that way. Yeah. There were some people like, wait, what? Thanksgiving? Are you serious? So, you know, Speaker Johnson did say, I think last week that, or this week, that this could be the longest government shutdown of all time, which would mean at least 10 more days of this. We'll see. I mean, it just doesn't seem like there's an off-ramp right now, but things can change rather quickly. But as of right now, we're at least in this through Monday.
So who's winning the war of public opinion here as the shutdown grinds on? Here's more on that from Rich Zeoli at WPHT Radio in Pittsburgh.
Democrats and Republicans both feel they have the upper hand, and that's the problem right now. Is that Democrats believe that this is helping them politically. They really do. They think it's helping them politically speaking. So they're not in any rush now to end this. In fact, after they voted again to keep the government shut down, they all walked out and they blamed Republicans on this. The House passed the short-term funding bill. No Democrats helped, of course. And then now the Senate, they need 60 votes to advance the legislation. House Speaker Mike Johnson again said, not a good day across America. But the Democrats think that they're winning. That's the thing. I mean, the Democrats think they're winning on this. I don't see it. I really don't. I don't see it. Maybe I'm too close to this. I don't know. Angus King, Democrat from Maine. Well, he's an independent, but he caucuses with Democrats. So as far as I'm concerned, just like Bernie, that makes you a Democrat. He says, I think the problem right now is that both sides think they're winning. And the Democrats at this point feel like they're getting a lot of oxygen and they're getting a lot of attention. Democrats say that they are comfortable with their message that there is a pending health care crisis. But here's the thing that you got to realize about this right now. The issue of giving illegal immigrants health care That's an issue you can't get away from. In fact, Sandy from Yorktown Heights was asked about that. And Sandy was asked flat out, you know, do you want to give health care to illegal immigrants? And that's what the Republicans have been saying. They've been saying this over and over again. You know, we're not going to do this. We're not going to give health care to illegal immigrants. We're not doing this. And they're saying that this is a big reason for why the Democrats want to keep the government shut down. So she was asked this question as she was doing the town hall last night on CNN with Bernie, who was, of course, yelling and mansplaining for her. And the question that was asked by Caitlin Collins, and this is cut number 11 now, do you think undocumented immigrants should have access to federally funded health care? Do you think that? Because that is, again, the big sticking point right now that it seems to be at least what Democrats are betting the ranch on here. Cut number 11.
Can I ask you on this to follow up? Because you said that it is federal law that people, undocumented immigrants, can't get Medicare, Medicaid, the Obamacare subsidies. Do you believe that should be the law, though? Or do you think undocumented immigrants should have access to federally funded health care?
You know, I believe personally that health care is a human right. I believe that every person should be able to go to the doctor. But I believe that right now, federal law is the federal law. And that absolutely, you know, that U.S. citizens and people who pay into our programs deserve to be covered by these programs. And I mean, once again, I do believe that the federal laws that we have on the books are appropriate.
But if
the
you
right
could
ones
choose,
do
you believe that that should be changed?
Pardon?
If you could choose, do you believe that the federal law should be changed?
I don't. I believe in a single payer health care system where if you go in and you need a doctor, you can get the medical attention that you need.
Okay, let me just.
Jump in and save my friend who's floundering here. The answer is yes. She does believe that illegal immigrants should get health care, obviously, because otherwise she would turn around and say no. But she doesn't say no. She dodges and she dances and she dodges and dances again until Bernie has to jump in again and save her again. But he got wrecked after an audience member pointed out the hypocrisy of Democrats on this issue. This is cut number 13 from CNN Town Hall, Shut Down America with Caitlin Collins. Take a listen.
How do you think this shutdown reflects on Chuck Schumer's leadership?
Well, I think it reflects more on Mike Johnson's leadership and President Trump's leadership. This is a leadership which said, it's okay to give a trillion. Well, how do you feel? You tell me. Think it's a good idea to give $1 trillion in tax breaks to the richest people in the country and then make massive cuts to health care for working class people?
I think Chuck Schumer has voted for continuing resolutions 13 times in the last 4 years, and he has the opportunity to vote for one again, but he's refusing to come to the table.
Don't bring up facts here. Don't bring up the fact that Chuck Schumer has always done that before, but why isn't he? And it's because AOC obviously wants to be on the side of giving health care to illegal immigrants. So they're not making this up. It's just the way it is. It's kind of funny to me that, you know, we're having this conversation about a shutdown and they ask her the question, and instead of her just even just lying and saying, no, absolutely not, and Republicans are lying when they say that that's what this is about, just dances and hems and haws. You know what I mean? Dances and hems and haws on this. Now, she wants to run for U.S. Senate, probably primary Chuck Schumer. The question really also is, what's next for her? What's next for Sandy from Yorktown Heights' ambition? What's next for Gavin Newsom's ambition as he vetoes reparation bills in California? Did you know that? Yeah, Gavin the Hare Newsom vetoed bills in California that would give reparations. Now, what's that about? Is that Gavin Newsom trying to appear like he's some sort of a sensible, moderate Democrat? Is that now the lane that his hair is going to pivot to with its gigantic, massive carbon footprint because of all the oil he has in it? Is that what it is? Well, if that's what he wants to do, it would probably be a good move because I think the crazy lane is occupied right now by people like Jasmine Crockett and others. I think this is the bigger problem that Democrats have. Jasmine Crockett in particular is so freaking nuts. Oh, did you hear her latest conspiracy theory about Trump? That Trump now is basically, he's had a stroke or something, or he's having a stroke. Cut 21, Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, take a listen.
There is something happening, and this is based on what actual medical professionals have told me, mentally as well as physically. And then after they put out their report of his most recent physical, it has only led those on the medicinal side to think for sure that he had a stroke. There are people that are theorizing, because I think within 4 to 6 weeks of one of these incidents, you have to go in and you have to get imaging and things like that, which is something they can't do at the White House, which would require them to get him over to Walter Reed. So we are asking the serious probing questions, because mental as well as physical fitness are things that the American people are supposed to be made aware of when you are serving at the helm. So as much as I make fun of Kankles, it is very serious, and we need to know.
Making fun of Kankles. Okay. Now, medicinal, I think she's using a lot of medicinal drugs, but that that's just a side point there. Stephen A. Smith was not happy with Jasmine Crockett over how disrespectful she was to Trump. This is Cut 22. Take a listen.
Let me tell you what gets me annoyed. And I hope Jasmine Crockett is listening to this. By the way, she's welcome on the show. When you go on national television and you call in the president of the United States out of his name, and you're being all disrespectful, as a representative in this country, do you believe the citizens of Texas sent you there to do that?
Disrespect aside, it's hard to believe that anyone would doubt the president's stamina. No matter what the Dems do, President Donald Trump isn't letting the shutdown affect his momentum at home or abroad. Internationally, he made big news by announcing that he's meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin with the goal of ending the Ukraine war. Here's more on that from Rich Zeoli.
Now, the United States is weighing sending Tomahawk cruise missiles capable of traveling 1,000 miles to Ukraine. And the president has said, and he signaled publicly and privately, that he was leaning towards providing the missiles, according to several people familiar with the discussions. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Putin warned during the call that supplying Ukraine with missiles won't change the situation on the battlefield, but would cause substantial damage to the relationship between our countries. In addition to the Tomahawk missiles, Trump and Zelensky are expected to discuss other issues around Ukraine's U.S.-provided long-range missiles, including restrictions to not use these things inside Russia. The Biden administration, if you remember, sent tactical missile systems to Ukraine. They can travel roughly 200 miles. But under President Trump, the Pentagon gave the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, the authority to veto any use of that weapon against targets in Russia. And the U.S. has already been providing Ukraine with intelligence for long-range strikes on energy infrastructure deep inside Russian territory, allowing Ukraine to hit refineries, pipelines, power stations, and other targets. Now, remember they had that meeting back in Alaska? That was back over the summer. And the president has said he's frustrated with Putin, been very frustrated. He says the guy won't compromise, won't bring an end to the war. And he's been discussing sanctions, more sanctions on Russia, something that obviously Ukraine wants. And also many Republicans in Congress want, too. He gave no indication of any sanction plans in the readout of the call with Putin, but he said they spent a lot of time talking about trade between Russia and the U.S. when the war is over. Caroline Levitt said today, that she thinks it's still possible to get Putin and Zelensky in the same room and believes the war will have to end at the negotiating table. And apparently Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Vice President J.D. Vance, also on the call as well. And on that call, Putin insisted to the president that Russian forces hold the strategic initiative along the entire line of contact in Ukraine. They've been pounding Ukrainian cities with drones and missiles, but they say that's in response to Ukrainian attacks on Russian territory. What they said was that the Ukrainian regime is carrying out attacks on civilian targets and energy infrastructure, and Russia must answer. Now, after the president put out the call, Putin congratulated him on his agreement ending the war with Gaza, and then Trump described his efforts halting multiple international conflicts. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban, a Trump ally, said he spoke by phone to Trump about the coming meeting in his country. Preparations for the USA-Russia peace summit are underway, he said. Putin also thanked Melania Trump, the First Lady, for her involvement with children, which has led to the reunification of several abducted Ukrainian children, and said that work will continue. So that's the latest on that. The president has also authorized the CIA to go into Venezuela. And he's also said he's considering land strikes in Venezuela because the sea is very well under control. And obviously, the president, the United States, we don't acknowledge Maduro as the proper leader of Venezuela. So that happened as well. And all this is coming right now is people are saying he brought peace to the Middle East. He brought peace to the war between Israel and Hamas. The hostages are freed. So let's go with that momentum and move towards something with Ukraine and Russia. I mean, something that we're all waiting to see resolve itself.
Meanwhile, at home, Supreme Court Justice Sotomayor argues that white Democrats won't vote for black candidates. Here's more on redistricting effort and what stands in the way with Annie Fry at KFTK Radio.
On 97.1 FM Talk.
Racially polarized voting, even within the Democratic Party, that's where Section 2 matters, where you have a reason to think that a racial group is being treated.
You have proof of that here, too. You have proof of that here.
No, you don't. What you have here is that Republicans and Democrats are different. There's no...
No, you have some that even white Republicans or white Democrats won't vote for black candidates.
Right, but if these were white Democrats, there's no reason to think they would have a second district. None. And so what is happening here is their argument is because these Democrats happen to be black, they get a second district. If they were all white, we all agree they wouldn't get a second district. That is literally the definition of race subordinating traditional principles.
So there you have the Deputy Solicitor General speaking to Justice Sotomayor about what's going on in Louisiana. This is a really interesting case. There are different states that we've seen talk about the gerrymandering, the redistricting. Of course, Texas was the big story that they sent their Democrat legislators to a gerrymandering safe haven in the state of Illinois. It's like, go there and learn their ways. And they tried to shut down the legislature so that the Republican majority in the state legislature in Texas couldn't redistrict their maps, which they did so and did so constitutionally. California, they've got a ballot measure, correct, in California to accept new maps in that state, which could maybe plus up a Democrat seat or two.
I think it's 5 seats that they're looking to add, but they have to get rid of their own fair election committee to do it or bypass them.
Say that again. What do we got to do to get there?
Exactly.
Let's get the fair election people out of here so we can make the case for this. You know, the question is, what can states do within their own state constitutions and not, you know, obviously opposing the Constitution to make sure that their maps reflect that of their constituency? Now, in the state of Illinois, 44% of the state, 4% of the state, went to vote for Trump last time. We have 3 of 17 congressional seats. And if you look at the map, I keep highlighting this, but the national spotlight that the state of Illinois has been under for, I would say, the better part of Donald Trump's first term, or second term, I should say. The fact that the sheer stupidity of how the Illinois Democrat Party has run amok in this state. And really, it's a great example of, if you gave Democrats unfettered access to power, what would they do with it? What would that look like? Well, folks, ironically, it would look like the land of Lincoln, which is tragic. In the state of Illinois, when Democrats want to do something, they can do it. They're not stopped from doing it. We're in a position in the state of Illinois to show the entire country, specifically on the gerrymandering issue, what Democrats will do when given access to power with little to no check or balance. The gerrymandering that has occurred in the state of Illinois has become a national conversation because Texas was looking to redraw their maps. And even on Stephen Colbert, you'll remember this, Stephen Colbert has J.B. Pritzker on his show, and they're talking about maps. And when they're talking about maps, Stephen Colbert whips out a map of the state of Illinois. And then he points to our district in the Illinois 13 going, well, how do you explain this? And J.B. Pritzker's response, if you recall, was to say they hired some kindergartners to draw it. It was a joke to him. They do not take the, they don't take it seriously because they don't have to.
Tara Servatius at WORD Radio also has something to say about how Democrats run amok when they're allowed to. Here's Tara.
Unbelievable, Lee. I mean, it's all the same story this morning, really, most of these stories.
Mm-hmm.
Break down to the Democrats arguing that certain groups of people are above the law.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are Democrat adjacent or uniparty adjacent. I mean, we're seeing that out of Illinois this morning. This incredible statement by the Chicago PD, who, when ICE agents are at risk of being killed under fire and are surrounded after being rammed by 10 people, they simply don't respond. Why? ICE agents aren't the right people, so it's okay if they die. This is the Democrat way. It's okay if they die. When they get busted, they said, no, we didn't call off the police. But there was a patriot inside of the dispatch center. It's like, oh, yes, they did. Here's the documents. There were both written and typed commands. So if you're an ICE agent, you're less than human and you don't get police protection. However, in the Upside Down, by the way, I can't wait for Stranger Things to come out. In the Upside Down, where rules and laws and norms don't apply, if you're a criminal illegal alien, you want to be an officer with the Chicago PD. Well, that's fine. Village officials in Hanover Park, after ICE arrested a police officer in Hanover Park, Illinois, he's an illegal immigrant, overstayed a tourist visa. Hanover Park Police Department announced his graduation. ICE picks him up. They say, well, if, you know, basically, if he can slip the bounds of the federal government, if he's not deported, if he's allowed to stay in the U.S., he can return to full duty status. How does that work when you're a criminal? Overstaying a visa is a crime. Yeah. Well, some crimes are much worse than others. And sometimes we just pretend aren't crimes. This is part of this system, Lee, where illegal immigrants are better than, and so laws can never be applied to them, but Donald Trump is less than. So he was supposed to go to prison for 700 years across five cases.
Yeah.
I'm loving the irony this morning, folks. I'm absolutely loving the irony this morning of everybody who's screaming and yelling bloody murder over John Bolton. The media? Okay. Donald Trump, a lot of people don't understand the classified documents case against Donald Trump went, right? They used a novel legal theory that had never been used against a president before, that if he didn't write down, I am declassifying this so I can take it home, then he's guilty. It was particularly outrageous, you'll remember, how they did this to Trump, because at the time, Barack Obama in his library still has classified data that he was asked to return, but the Library of Congress never did. Didn't bother. Bush, same thing. And it was thought, well, you can mentally declassify it. You could, you don't have to write a note asking anybody's permission. You're the executive, right? So remember, Barack Obama never bothered to return classified data when they asked. Same thing with George W. Bush. And when Trump does the same thing, he gets a raid on Mar-a-Lago. See how this works? This has never been done before. But all of the same people you're seeing right now scream dictatorship and show me the man, I'll show you the crime. Yeah. Stalin, blah, 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 as they did yesterday on MSNBC and CNN. These people were cheering for Trump's conviction. And let me tell you something. You want to know why Trump wasn't convicted? Two reasons, and I closely covered that court case. Our side did not. We failed there. It turned out that they kept notifying Trump over and over and over again. Hey, we want to send you some classified data. Hey, we want to send you some notes, some history from your term. Can we ship it? Can you come pick it up? And Trump's like, no, I don't really want it. And they're like, okay, we'll ship it to your house. They shipped it to his house. Then they raided his house because he possessed it.
Can you say setup?
People don't understand this about the classified documents case. The only reason he wasn't in court on election day in that case was because he got a judge he appointed. She still went forward with the case. And I'm bringing all this up if you're listening, because to understand the difference between this and John Bolton, okay? The only reason he wasn't in court on election day was because the lawyer for Trump's co-defendant, a guy who worked at Mar-a-Lago, who was a much smarter guy, unfortunately, than Trump's lawyers. Trump hires crappy lawyers. But the co-defendant was like, the co-defense lawyer is like, wait a minute. They were relying on the order of the classified documents in the box. Okay, these would have been when Trump was still president. We can't get him on these. But these here, these documents, those are from after Trump was president. And here he's got them. And so he couldn't have declassified these. They were relying on the order, right? And remember, the FBI and the DOJ said, no, we have not tampered with the order. We haven't touched it one iota. They got caught. They tampered with it. They changed the order. They lied in court. That's felony level perjury. If you and I do it, don't try it. Believe me. Lawyers in the audience are like, yeah, don't try that. You go to prison. So the FBI and DOJ changed the order to make it look like some of the highly classified top secret stuff had been taken by Trump, when it actually predated. Like, in other words, he could have walked out with it all he wanted. He was the president. And they got caught for that. And Rosemary Collyer stopped right there. That's why he was not in court on election day, and began essentially trying the FBI and DOJ. What did you know? When did you know it? Who was the person who moved this data? And the media immediately stopped covering it because it was a felony. And even the FBI and the DOJ knew. They had said under penalty of perjury in court filings, we did not change the order. They did. So that's the standard, just so we understand, of justice for Trump. Okay. That's the Trump standard, the extreme standard of justice. So extreme, we've never seen it since the founding. John Bolton, no big deal. Take stuff out of the vault, walk it home. It's highly classified. Email it to yourself over AOL. Email it to your friends. Email it to your family. Email it to other people. We don't know who they are yet. They're not named in the indictment. That should be interesting. Send it all over the place so that when the Iranians hack your email, you idiot, they've not now got highly classified data. And the same media that cheered the raid on Mar-a-Lago, the same media that said, no one's above the law, even when Donald Trump does exactly what Barack Obama and George Bush did. And Mike Pence, too, by the way. Oh, and Joe Biden. That Trump's not against the law. And remember, Lee, we had an admission from that same DOJ that Biden absolutely illegally walked classified data out in many, many ways. There were pallets of it dating back to the 70s in the Penn Biden Center.
When he did not have clearance.
No, he had no clearance whatsoever of any kind. He was even taking notes in notebooks to write it all down so he could take it home. And the Obama administration was having to chase him around saying, no, you can't do that. Please bring the notebook. No, bring it back. Some of it he brought back. Some of it he didn't. I've no doubt Hunter was Xeroxing it. But and they admit it. Biden did all this. OK, not only that, the Chinese donated over $100 million to Penn Biden Center. Their representatives were allowed to fly here from China and walk through this Penn Biden Center, where there were literally pallets of classified data unsecured. And what we told by the DOJ, ain't no big thing. It's I mean, he's such a nice old man. Nobody would ever convict him. So we're just not going to try him. But everyone hates Trump, so we'll go ahead and try him. That was the standard, just so we're clear. Now we find John Bolton behaving in the exact manner as Hillary and Obama and Joe Biden, where you take classified data, which is a felony, and you take it for two reasons. Number one, to leak it and tar Trump. And number two, to make money. But if you're an oligarch, a member of the Uniparty and the deep state in good standing, you could do it. That's why Bolton thought he could do it. That's why Bolton was so casually sending it to family and friends. It's no big deal. That is the standard we have to break the back of. But panic has erupted, fake panically, on MSNBC. Listen to this after I've just given you this background. Okay.
But why are we even having this conversation? Why is this happening? Because Donald Trump has ordered his Justice Department to systematically go after his political opponents. Again, show me the man, I will show you the crime. But let's never forget that this prosecution is taking place because Donald Trump wills it and will continue, as Maya just said, will continue to insist upon these kinds of vindictive prosecutions.
Uh-huh. No, they've just never seen an oligarch, a member of the deep state in good standing, prosecuted. They don't understand it. Much like in Illinois, if you're an illegal immigrant and you're a police officer, you've committed fraud when you told them, hey, there's no crimes in my background. They're like, well, you know, if the federal government lets you go, you can come back on the force. Laws don't apply to you.
Thank you for listening to Red Meat, a place where we're not afraid to dig in. Smash that subscribe button wherever you get podcasts.